everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head.
And I'm Dane, the water head. He shouldn't have done it live.
Two-Headed Game Master is a podcast about writing, designing, running, and playing role-playing games, where we discuss our favorite hobby, share our thoughts with you, and even play some games some of the time. Well, what's up tonight? Today, whatever.
Thanks, Cosmo. Today we are talking about resource management. Mm-hmm. We talked in general about like resources in RPG games before, but we're going to go into like how making them important and everything kind of like gums up the works and makes them a hindrance.
We're going to talk in depth about managing resources to tell you why you probably shouldn't get in depth.
Pretty much. So we're going to just talk about, like, well, we're going to start with nothing, which is the signpost.
Yeah.
Little humor there. Then we're going to go into hoarding and then the importance of said resources and wrap up with talking about the old tug of war. Mm-hmm.
The balance. And those will all make more sense when we do them, so let's do nothing.
Starting with nothing. Well, it's a common trope in RPG games, right? You have a new character, and they are poor.
Yeah.
And equipmentless.
Or starting equipment, but mm-hmm. Yeah. They starting with very little is pretty typical.
And it's fun. It's also like just easy to start a story that way because like it's the beginning, mm-hmm. Right? Even if like you had, I don't know, if you were a rich, you know, I'm trying to think of a background from Dangerous Spaceman. If you were a rich colonial person and, oh, now you're starting an adventure, you're poor now.
Yeah.
Right? You can't afford your own ship. You can barely afford to feed yourself.
Right. That's why you need to go on a space adventure in a mm-hmm. spaceship.
Right. So it makes a lot of sense. For a lot of reasons, starting with nothing. And it's very common, probably because of those things. So what does that lead to, right? Starting with nothing. Well, it leads to resource scrounging, right? When you first start out a Fallout or a Skyrim, you're picking up everything. You're looking in every box for every cap, right? And, like, you get into this kind of habit of just doing that, like, you know, you're mm-hmm. looting the bodies, you're picking up everything, and you say, fuck it, I sort it later and sell it all off when I get back.
You sell your junk, put the useful stuff, and for a while, for like, I don't remember how many levels a Fallout play usually is, but at a certain point it becomes less important, right? Well, get to that.
Yeah, I mean, that's right up next.
Yeah.
So it becomes a habit, and it's reinforced by the dopamine, right? Because you're getting new stuff, and especially when you have nothing.
Yeah,
like
that stuff.
Right? In Borderlands, when you get your first green weapon,
yeah,
you're like, holy fuck, a green weapon? Woo!
And then you start seeing blues and purples, and that starts to feel really good.
And not too long after that, you're like, oh, a green weapon?
Yeah, fuck that.
Fuck it. But you still pick it up anyway.
Yeah, you're still doing it. And that's kind of at the core of this. Like, once the wealth has been accumulated, it's hard to break that habit. You go through a Fallout playthrough, and you're still opening every drawer and putting everything in your pockets. Mm-hmm. And usually at a certain point, because the economies of those games are broken, and they don't actually work, really, you get to a point where it doesn't matter. You don't need this stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. You can just, you know, top off your ammo with the thousands and thousands of caps that you have on you, and you don't need to pick up trash anymore, but you're still probably doing it.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause you're looking for that, like, rare drop, mm-hmm. you know, or, like, even opening a rusty box and finding 10 caps in there, even though you have 100,000.
It's still money.
You're like, whoa, this box got a lot of caps in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's still money. I'm still taking it. And, you know, even though you don't need it in the game system anymore, maybe you're just, like, you're role-playing it. Mm-hmm. You know, my character wouldn't put this away.
Right.
Why would I leave something useful in this world where, you know, everything... Mm-hmm. Everything is, every last drop of usefulness is squeezed out of everything.
Yeah. Right. And so that point, like, there's more than just like money and like weapons, right? There's resources, right? We're talking like food and water, health potions, crafting supplies, you know, all that junk has a use somewhere. Sometimes it is just, or sell it for a little bit of money. That's all, that's its only use.
Yeah.
Right. But like, you're looking for these things, and like when you first start a role playing game, every health potion is precious, right? Because you're a weak little squishy baby, mm-hmm. and like you get in a fight with one like wolf, and you're like, ah, health potion.
Yeah, I need that.
But then there come a time, like you start getting better gear, you start leveling up, you do more damage, you're tougher, you have more health, right? You're just gonna have shitloads of health potions. And, like, what do you spend your money on? Well, you know, our top off on ammo, but that's not a lot. So, like, then you just start rolling around with everything and a lot of it.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the hoarding inclination.
Yeah.
Right? Players, myself included, habitual hoarders.
Yeah.
Especially, like, stuff or like potions that do special things, not just health potions or mana potions, but like this potion does, you know, buffs your dexterity for 3 rounds of combat. I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna save that for like a special
time
when rounds.
I need that buff for 3 specific rounds of combat.
And then it just never, like, you know, it's always so important to save it.
There might always be a more opportune time. I know I've said it before on this show, the great runes, or the crescents that you spin to use the great runes in Elden Ring. Mm,
yeah.
I was like, I don't know. Like, I know it would help me beat this boss, but I'm going to try to beat it without it a few times to, like, learn it. And, you know, maybe I can save it for a boss where I really need it. And I just, like, you never know which attempt at a boss is the one that is going to be tipped by you using it, and so you end up not using it, and it just it becomes my least favorite sort of thing, sort of mechanic items in especially video games, because I hold on to them for that opportune moment, which there always will be a more opportune moment.
I will say though,
because we're going to talk about another video game later, at least Elden Ring doesn't punish you for holding on to it, because your inventory is not like a backpack that gets heavy. Your inventory is more like a logbook of everything you've ever seen, and it doesn't punish you for finding stuff and carrying stuff that you might not use.
Right. Because a lot of role-playing games, tabletop included, have like carrying capacity and, you know, how many items can you hold and stuff. Which, like, I think it is an example of a well-meaning mechanic and rule that is never really applied, right? Like, it's supposed to, in my mind, that rule is supposed to help with this, you know, hoarding inclination. It's like, well, you can only carry, you know, 5 big items, right? So use them when you have them. But what it kind of turns into is, oh, are we really going to worry about that right now? I'm just going to forget about it, and most people just forget about it, right? So
then it, like,
what's the point?
Yeah, it begs the question of why is that capacity mechanic imposed on you? Just to punish you? And, well, there is another answer to that is, you know, it's supposed to immerse you in the role-playing a little bit, be a bit more realistic. Like, you couldn't carry a sack of 50 pipe rifles in real life. But in Fallout, you know, it's not 50 pipe rifles. It's a bunch of crafting components that I'm going to break down. Or a bunch of money that I just haven't sold yet and turned into money. you don't think of it like real things that your character is carrying on mm-hmm. back, because the game is not designed well to show that. So it doesn't immerse you in the role-playing. It just irritates you some of the time when it is imposed on you. Or in a role-playing game, a pen-and-paper role-playing game like D&D, when the encumbrance and carry mm-hmm. weight stuff is on the table, you just end up not using it right. at all.
Because it's like a useless thing to keep track
yeah,
of.
Yeah, who wants to keep track of that? At least in a video game, that math is done
right.
by the computer.
And, all right, so another thing about the hoarding thing is just humans and maybe some animals, we don't even know yet, love to watch numbers go up.
I bet crows do. They're weird.
They love it. Like, the higher numbers are better, right? Like, well, I do have 500 gold, but, like, you know what would be really good? 5,000 gold. Right? Right?
Right.
I got, like, legendary gear. I don't need to buy anything. And then, like, you know, oh, what if you want to, like, spend a night at the inn or whatever? I don't know, man. Like, yeah, from 25 coins.
Yeah.
But, like, I need more money, even though I got everything I could ever want. So this resource management, right, it is a problem when the numbers get too big, right? Because keeping track of those, keeping track of your carry weight in a pen and paper setting,
yeah.
right? We just talked about how, one, annoying, and two, it never really gets followed anyways, right? So if we're not doing that, if we're not keeping track of it, you know, our suggestion is to keep track of stuff that's important when it's important.
Yeah.
And then otherwise, fucking who cares?
Yeah. And to kind of, like, start by keeping track of nothing
mm-hmm.
until it becomes a... until it becomes material to the game.
Right. A lot of games, specifically D&D here, have, like, a rations and water
mm-hmm.
kind of system. And, like, your character starts with this many rations, and, like, you know, when you take a long rest and a short rest, you know, this is what you need to, like,
yeah, what
have the rest.
You need to have this in order to do it, and it takes this much away from everyone's inventory.
But if that's not the game you're playing, if you're not, and I think, to be fair, there's a really cool way to, like, bring that stuff into the focus, but in general, like, it's kind of just something that gets forgotten and kind of goofed upon. So, like, unless you're running a really gritty survival hex crawl, like, that's the mission, is to survive from A to B.
And the gameplay mechanics are survival and management.
Mm-hmm. Then, like, even keeping track of food is not important 100% of the time. Right? Now, there'll be some instances where it becomes important. So, like, I don't know, maybe you guys want to do a one-shot about being lost in the desert. Then keep track of it during that one-shot. But once you get out of the desert into town, no longer need to track your water. There's a well for free.
Yeah. Take it away.
Right? So that's an example of, like, a resource that's already in the game. But, like, you can do that where other resources, and, like, just come up with a simple resource. Like, the example we have here
mm-hmm. is spaceship. Spaceship needs repairs. So you're flying around in your spaceship, and it's fine, and you're not keeping track of anything that you don't need to keep track of. And then, in a fun encounter, the ship gets damaged. Now you create a resource, and you add it to the
mm-hmm.
board or whatever. You need X amount of spaceship parts.
Right? It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that.
Right.
It doesn't have to be like, oh, well, you need a specific
yeah.
module and engine part and a this and whatever.
And,
it doesn't have to be.
This type of... There are video games that, you know, play with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, material collecting, and then combine materials into more advanced materials. And, you know, we're just recommending generally against that. So your spaceship needs repairs because you got damaged. That happens in the adventure, in the course of a fun encounter. Cool. Now, you're tracking spaceship parts you need to get X amount of spaceship parts in order to affect this repair. And then once that's done, just...
You can just throw it away.
Yeah, wipe it off the board. And you can bring it back at any mm-hmm. time if they, you know, if their ship gets damaged again. But when you don't need it, it just get rid of it.
Right, because it will just become a thing on your player's character sheet that is like on a sticky note, and it will be annoying, and yeah. like the sticky note will
that
fall off.
That sticky note will always be there, covering up something else on the character mm-hmm. sheet, but they won't get rid of it because they'll be like, "What if, mm-hmm. what if I need three spaceship parts again? Just throw it away."
Right, because so like in addition to like the hoarding and loving seeing numbers go up, players have a tendency to like want to hold on to something like that, where like, oh, well, like, you made it a big deal that our spaceship was broken before, so like if that happens again, I want to have a head start on getting it repaired, because like I'm going to carry these three spaceship
or even
parts.
Like I can just turn that off, like mm-hmm. oh, we get damaged in the next one, actually I've got 10 spaceship parts in my backpack, it's not damaged,
suck
no
it
more.
Game master,
right? They will go for that like gotcha on the game master, and probably not even realize that that's what they're
doing. Yeah.
They'll just be like, they will see it as a sort of prudence, a, you know,
my character's so smart.
Yeah, a healthy, like, survival instinct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll do that. I'm gonna buy 10 extra and just keep them in the shuttle bay for the next time this happens. And you know, maybe you allow them to do that. Cool, but really the cool part is like the narrative element of like mm-hmm. now you're damaged and you can't make it all the way to your destination, so you need to stop somewhere and fix the problem and turn that into gameplay, as opposed to, you know, what are all the things you're carrying, and
right.
you know,
because then
enough to...
you do like 10 sessions, now you got 6 different resources mm-hmm. you're tracking, and there's questions about like the economy, and like, well, like, you know what, we have plenty of spaceship parts, but you know what we don't have is weapon parts. So, right. like, you know, let's start hoarding weapon parts.
We need
parts.
Electronics. What's the mm-hmm. exchange rate of,
yeah.
you know, ship repair to electronic
and then,
components?
Like,
and
what else can we use electronics for besides fixing our ship? Like, mm-hmm. I want to make something, Game Master. Come up with a cool item that I can craft.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, well... because, you know, you want to give an answer right away, you want to keep the story moving, you want to have some fun item, right? Because items are fun. Mm-hmm. So then you accidentally make a game-breaking item, and you're like, oh, fuck, I shouldn't have done that. And it's hard to take that away.
Yeah. It's hard to take something like that back.
Yeah. We've talked about how to do that before in previous episodes, and, like, consistency, and also it's okay to just be like, I hear yeah. you, I'm going to work on it, but, like, I need a little more time, so, like, I'll get back to you next session.
Mm-hmm. Or to retcon yourself mm-hmm. and be like, this is just no longer an aspect
yeah.
of this.
Sorry,
Like, I had some ideas for how this was going to mm-hmm. go. It's not, I don't feel like it's adding something, or I don't feel like it's something I want to deal with anymore. So in the interest of the experience I'm trying to create, this is just no longer part of it.
Mm-hmm. And this is especially common, like, late game late campaign, when your players have done so much stuff,
mm-hmm.
been all around the map. They're going to have a lot of former resources tracked on their sheet, at their disposal, and it can really gum up the works. Because, like, one, you got to, like, remember what that shit's for, what its use is. You got to consider, like, how does that balance fit into the balance now? You know, all this stuff. So, keep track of what is important when it is important, and kind of just forget the rest is what we're advocating for here.
Yeah.
Now... getting rid of stuff, or, you know, forgetting about it and, like, just being like, we're not going to worry about ship parts anymore, right? We talked about it a little bit. That's where the tug of war comes into, mm-hmm. right? Like, players will not really want to let that stuff go, especially if it's, like, something that caused their character's harm, right? They're going to be like, okay, well, I'm just going to prevent that problem next
yeah.
time.
I'm going to avoid, you know, and that's a really, I think, it's unfortunate, that is such a pervasive behavior in pen and paper role
gaming,
playing. Right. In gaming in general, and especially in pen and paper role playing game, the idea, and some players are okay at actually not doing this, or some players will do the opposite to be obnoxious, but generally speaking, players, once they lock in for the session, you're done bullshitting and, you know, saying, you know, hi and what you did over the weekend or whatever, and you're actually locked into role playing. Players are really concerned with their characters not getting hurt, not dying, you know, keeping them safe, sometimes to the point of being timid, and not realizing that, you know, being in dangerous situations and having bad stuff happen to you is where, like, the drama and the excitement comes from, as long as, you know, you have a decent game master who's balancing that and not just killing everybody every couple of sessions. They will work so hard to avoid, you know, that situation. If they, you know, they got in a spaceship battle and they almost died because the ship got damaged, they will go so far out of their way to make sure that that never happens again.
Right. Which is a completely natural reaction, right? Because, like, you know, this is a character that they made. They put some aspect of themselves into it, even if, like, you know, it is completely counter to who they are in real life.
Right.
There's some aspects of them, and it's, like, you know, a part of themselves, right? That self-preservation instinct.
And it's not a bad thing to extend your real-life self-preservation instinct to your character, because, you know, you want your character to succeed and, you know, take risks, but also not be foolish and not be suicidal, unless that is part of the character's, you know, thing. But
it leads to this, not looking at that stuff as, like, drama and opportunities.
Right.
They look at it as kind of like, they start to look at it as like a trick. Like, you're trying to kill me.
Right. And I'm going to avoid that by doing this. And they will focus on this, like, resource hoarding, resource management thing that was never intended to be a big part of the experience. And they will just, they will latch onto it to the point where, instead of actually playing the game as it is presented to them, they're metagaming, essentially.
Yeah.
It
would be a form of metagame.
They'll start metagaming in a way.
Trying to be prepared for anything that the game master can throw.
Right. And to an extent, that is role-playing the self-preservation instinct of their character. But the other side of that coin is, like, you shouldn't really be thinking about this part so much, because that's not the adventure.
Because it does cut off a lot of good and easy drama points, like running out of ammo, out of fuel, out of food, right? Those things are easy to come up with reasons why and, like, fit them into stories. They make sense because that shit happens.
Yeah.
And, like, running out of food and being like, well, we've never tracked food before, Game Master. If you told me we were going to be out of food, I would have bought more food.
I would have filled my backpack with pretend food.
Right, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is, how do you react in the situation, right? Like, what story is that, you know, resource telling, right? So, yeah, that's kind of the bad side, and, like, what we've kind of noticed are real-life observations and kind of it's just a natural thing that happens. So it's not something to, like, be like, oh, fucking asshole players. Cosmo said it earlier. They're probably not even aware that, like, that's what they're doing.
I mean, they're doing it on purpose, but they're probably not thinking about it at the meta level the meta level being they're denying themselves aspects of the experience by focusing on this thing that would save them.
Yeah. So, what can we do about that, right? In this resources tug-of-war, how do you make it less of tug-of-war and more of a, yeah, I don't know, we all are holding on to the same bit of rope? I don't know what the opposite of a tug-of-war is.
Balance, maybe, as opposed to tug-of-war.
Sure. So think about, like, what story you're trying to tell and how those resources fit into it, right? Like, if the story is about specifically like resource management and survival and really nitty gritty, like a hex crawl, we got to get from point A to point B. All right, maybe all we've said is kind of not that relevant because you're going to need to track a lot of resources, but like you should have some buy-in there, right? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about like the, oh, hey, I would like to do a session where you guys are out of food, right? How to get around the like indignation of being out of food where they're like, well, I would have bought some at the store.
Mm-hmm.
So just set it up as a story device.
Yeah. Something happened to the food.
Mm-hmm.
A critter stole the sack that had most of the provisions, and like, yeah, everyone's only got enough crumbs to get them through a couple of days. Mm-hmm. So now this session is about survival.
And that would have happened if you had all the food in the world.
Yeah.
Couldn't do anything about it.
I killed an NPC and took your spaceship away. First session of our new space campaign that we're doing. That's just what was gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter.
There was
if someone's like, role. I'm gonna go be the pilot and I'm gonna do a great job, or I'm gonna man the sensors, and there was no way this was not gonna happen, because the next session is about what you do after.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, players are thinking about this in an almost game mastery way, and they will recognize, they might call it railroading, or they might recognize the agency that was taken away from them in the moment. But, you know, the focus should be on, this is what the adventure is about. This session is about what you do mm-hmm. after this happens. And resources, or your, you know, sometimes your decision doesn't matter. A thing was going to go down because something else was going to happen.
Right,
because
there's a larger story and world at play here.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I think also, well, to avoid, and avoiding it kind of alleviates that tug of war, is staying away from debuffs of stats. Debuffs. So like, oh, your guys are out of food. Don't give them a like, oh, well, like -2 to strength because you guys haven't eaten in 2 weeks.
A stat penalty that's just frustrating.
Right. That's really, like, the players will really feel attacked on that one and been like, well, fuck. I would have bought more food, especially because I don't want -2 to strength because my whole guy's thing is strength.
Or just like, I really don't want this debuff, so I'm gonna eat some leaves,
right,
and I'll roll a constitution check and I'll beat that constitution check, and then I won't be hungry anymore or something, you know, because I'm just gonna eat leaves and not be hungry because I don't want this hunger penalty.
Right. So we've said it before, and we've been saying it a lot to each other off air doing our, you know, game master and stuff. So I'm gonna put it on board. Character stats are not how good they are at everything and their whole deal, right? Character stats are just about how well they do in stressful situations. Mm-hmm. So a character can be smart but have a shitty mind stat.
Yeah. So that's a direct quote from the Rules of Mothership, which we've bought but haven't played yet. Certainly
coming
not on
soon.
Air, but we plan to get into that. And that's a really great little piece of text in the rules of that. Is like, you have these four stats, but they are not necessarily a measure of, you know, how actually smart or strong you are. It's just like, under pressure, how do you perform?
Mm-hmm.
Some game systems might explicitly state the opposite. I haven't encountered any, but I think that is a good way to think about it. Is just that, you know, your stats are your measure of how you perform in a sudden tense situation, in a fight, in a like think on your feet moment, and they have an element of luck built into them with the dice. It's not necessarily that, like, you know, you're weak or you're stupid
or ugly.
or the opposite of those things. It's not necessarily that you're even smart.
Mm-hmm.
You might just be lucky.
Yeah.
It could be a measure of luck, that positive modifier on your intelligence stat.
Okay. So, bring it back to the resources and debuffs for running out of resources. Looking at it that way, it makes no sense to give a debuff for hunger, right? Because that character who has X amount of strength, that still holds true even if they're hungry, right? Yeah. That's how good they are at, you know, being hungry,
right?
Is whatever their stat is, right?
So instead of, instead of numerical debuffs, or, you know, whatever, you can have debuffs that aren't numerical, they could be situational, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think the answer then is to, like, instead of doing that, just put a narrative deadline on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is going to get worse for you guys. You guys are going to start, you know, you guys are going to be starving if you can't, you know, move through this forest in a couple of days and either make it to town or find some food.
Right. Like, you guys are going to have to stop and find some food, which is, like, really going to put, you know, a crunch on getting this milk to market. It might spoil.
Whatever the quest is, you got to deliver this important thing to the town, milk, before it spoils. Gross. Well, now, suddenly, how are you going to do that?
We drink the milk.
There's a crunch on it.
But then we wouldn't have
the milk. Then you wouldn't have it to sell. You could drink a little bit of it and sell less.
See? It works. Yeah. So, to be clear here, I'm not arguing about all debuffs in general.
No.
I'm talking about debuffs related to resources that the game master takes away to make drama. Don't do that, because that's kind of feels like an attack on the players, right? It's like, oh, well, you want me to die because you made it impossible for me to succeed in any roles.
Yeah.
Right? Don't have to do that. It's better if you don't, and it makes sense that you don't.
What you're doing is you're putting a wrinkle on their objective, right? Their objective is to, like, make this overland journey, deliver the milk to market by a certain amount of time. Well, now you're not going to be able to do that unless you do something else first. That's what we're advocating for.
Yeah.
Rather than getting into the resource mess, and rather than punishing, you know, with encumbrance or with stat debuffs for a lack of resources or a loss of resources, put a narrative deadline or a this must happen first clause on the quest. In general, as opposed to fiddling with a lot of resources.
Yeah. Whew. Think we got everything?
I think so. I'd add one more thing, and this is a reiteration of some stuff we said. Sometimes, depending on the type of game you're going to play, tracking torches, tracking ammo, tracking rations is part of it. I would still advocate for not tracking them one at a time and being like, you use this many foods in every 8-hour period or whatever like that, because that is just tedious and obnoxious. And if you put it on the players to do it, they might not do it consistently. They might not do it right. They might not all do it the same. And then that system falls apart. And if you take all of it on yourself, then it's a lot of work. So
how do you fix it?
We advocate for simpler systems. Cyborg and the Forbidden Lands both do great resource die mechanics that we really like and have stolen for games that we play. Forbidden Lands, you have a D8 of ammo, and you roll that after you get after you use some ammo and the encounter is over, you roll that D8, and on a 1 or a 2, it drops to a D6. And when you run out of dice, you run out of ammo.
Well, Forbidden Lands only goes to D6, right? That's the last dice?
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
and Cyborg is a slightly different thing. Instead of a dice mechanic, you count ammunition magazines. Like, did you spend a magazine in this fight? you roll a dice and on a... I forget. It's different dice denominations, but the same thing.
A little different. Same concept, though, right?
Yeah.
There's a good chance that you still have whatever resource it is you're rolling for.
But there's a chance
shit happens.
It's just going to drop incrementally rather than by individuals.
Yeah.
Because who wants to count individual fucking arrows, torches, bullets?
Mm.
That sucks, I think.
Right. And, like, again, I think there is a cool version of that. But it's extremely hard, and it requires a lot of buy-in, and it has to be extremely specific.
I think the cool version of that is playing Fallout New Vegas on survival mode.
Yeah.
Have a computer do all that counting for you.
Sure.
But yeah. That was my last thing. Is that about it? Well, thank you for joining us for this latest episode of Two-Headed Game Master. As always, if you liked what you heard, head on over to 2hgm.com and check out Afterlife, our original post-apocalyptic fantasy role-playing RPG, available on DriveThruRPG in both print and digital PDF.
And if you buy the print version, you get the PDF for free, so you can send that to all your players or your game master, so you have a physical copy. And you're free to do with the PDF what you will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, please share it. You know, get it around into other people's hands.
That's the deal. That's why we set it up. Buy the print copy, you know, if you're a game master, whatever, and then share the PDFs with your players so that everyone has it and everyone can play, and it's great. Check out our Patreon over there, too. Join us. Hang out on our Discord. We do stuff like our Halloween special and occasional other live show events, and sometimes we just talk about RPG shit on there. Anything else?
I think that will about do it. I guess we didn't really do a recap.
Oh, we did kind of blow past that, didn't we?
Recap, we talked about resource management and how it can be a hindrance in the late game, right? You start with nothing, you develop these habits. You develop these habits of keeping everything you find because you got nothing.
There's always a better moment to use it than right now.
And you hold on to it because of that opportune moment that you're waiting for, which, spoiler, it never comes because there could always be a better time. And then keeping track of what's important when it's important, right? Because it kind of gets bogged down and you're keeping track of all this shit. It's not really important to the story I'm telling right now. Mm. Why keep track of it? That can run into some issues with players because, like, you know, they don't want to get gotcha'd by being out of a resource that, like, could potentially put their characters' lives in danger. Completely natural. So we went through some ways to kind of alleviate that, of like make it more narrative. Don't give stat debuffs for being out of resources.
Yeah.
Easier resource management tracking systems, like resource dice instead of one by one. How was that for a wrap up?
That was good. Yeah. So we'll see y'all next time for another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. You have a thing?
Well, you gotta say thank you.
Thank you to the Burning Saviors.
I mean, I could also have said it.
Yeah. Thank you to the Burning Saviors for the use of the song Pond Hill is Finest as the intro and outro to our show.
And we will see you next time. Now, if you're still here, because this is usually our outro, we've been given a secret code that gives a little bonus presence to our listeners who are still here with us. Anyway, so that number that you should be keeping track of, the next number is 0. Write that down. 0.
0.
All right. See you next time.
See ya.